Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals write an entire screenplay week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong, and I am your host. Welcome. I'm back in the corporeal form here in front of my boys. Same room. I did it.
I live, I die, I write again.
I'm here.
You get it? Like from Fury Road?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm Will Campos, Fury Road fan first, Story Break host second, screenwriter third. What's going on, Matt Arnold?
Rice Krispies Treats enthusiast.
Tweet me your favorite homemade recipes for Rice Krispies. I'm a big fan.
I'm Matt Arnold. And Will, is it the like classic Rice Krispie, like in the package, like the blue package, or just Rice Krispies in general?
No.
What?
Not that blue package stuff.
I like the blue package
stuff. It's got a weird flavor to it.
It's got a weird artificial sweetener flavor,
yeah, that's
right?
Called the flavor.
The flavor.
How about the Starbucks one?
I love that Starbucks.
Yeah. The Starbucks one.
I pretty much celebrate. There's one at a coffee shop by me that's a salted caramel one that you'd think like, oh, that's going to be the friggin' shiz. But like, it doesn't need it. Yeah. It's like putting sunglasses on the Mona Lisa. Like, yeah, it makes her look cooler, but, you know, she doesn't need it. She's cool on her own.
Speaking of why, because it's just marshmallow. It's just the marshmallow flavor.
It's the marshmallows are like the enigmatic mystery smile of the Rice Krispies treat.
That horse flavor.
A lot of people don't know. I like mine with a little bit of horse. Is that what they make marshmallows out of, horses?
Gelatin. Gelatin is like horse.
Oh man, I thought it was like hooves. Milk or something.
But it's like horse hooves.
It's like milk.
Yeah, but like, oh, so they just cut the horse's feet off and then do it.
Urban legends claim that gelatin comes from horse or cow hooves. The collagen in gelatin comes from bones and hides of animals processed for their meat.
Oh, so not necessarily horses.
Yeah.
Okay, but so it's
okay.
It ain't like vegan. Yeah, but come
ain't
on.
Vegan.
How good a life as an animal did you have that your bones wound up in my Rice Krispie treat? I'm just putting that out there.
This is slightly related, but I think it's important since we're talking about marshmallows. There's a lot going on in this world today. Can everybody just do me a favor? Can we just not have any hot takes this wonderful season about Peeps? Peeps are fucking delicious. I don't need people talking about how Peeps are gross. Just let us enjoy our Peeps. They're marshmallows. It's good.
Yeah,
I had some Peeps
today.
I
can lay my sword down on the Peeps issue for
thank
what
you.
Until things get less crazy.
Until Trump's out of office, can we just leave Peeps alone? And frankly, candy corn and Peeps. Right, can you just leave those things alone?
As a candy corn fan, I'm with you there.
Yes.
Whoa. Matt, do you like candy corn?
Fucking love candy corn.
Candy corn's delicious.
Shit.
Reese's, candy corn number two. Candy corn's top tier candy. I wish it was around all year.
Yeah, Freddie, we just said that we all need to get behind one candy candidate.
One candy.
We can't have the one candidate. We can't have this toxicity splitting us up.
Yeah, we only got one chance here, Freddie. Did you ever do a marshmallow Rice Krispies with candy corn on top?
That seems again like a sunglasses.
No, it's great. We used to do that during Halloween.
That's like putting the Mona Lisa on a skateboard. That's like,
it's only a Halloween thing. You used to do it a little special.
Will, you've described three better paintings so far.
All right, guys.
Could you imagine how much more of a visionary we would have thought Leonardo da Vinci was if it was like this Mona Lisa is wearing sunglasses at a skateboard, two things that weren't invented at the time.
If he had invented the sunglasses and the skateboard and put them in the Mona Lisa, that would have been very impressive.
I would have.
Anyway, so this is a podcast about screenwriting. We're diving in on Heaven Heist, the movie that we're writing, which is about a crew of criminals that rob the celestial vault of heaven. It's called Heaven Heist.
Asian Heaven.
It's Coco meets Point Break. And
why not Point Break meets Coco?
I think it's Coco meets Point Break. That's just the punchline because it works better.
Yeah.
I like it's Point Break meets Coco. Like you're like, oh,
that's
so it's
true.
Like, it's
like, hell yeah, Point Break. Oh, that Pixar movie that's like, okay, let's be honest.
Because it's like you're saying, like, it's Point Break. You're like, oh, it's a cool action movie. And then when you say meets a kids movie, it's like, you're like,
that's
oh,
true,
okay.
Right,
it kind of waters down. You're like, it's a kids movie, but get this.
Yeah, I got it.
Also, Point Break's probably not a good, we don't have a lot of skydiving. It's probably more like Coco meets like Ocean's 11 or something.
Yeah,
but you know.
Coco meets Point Break.
It's
just zazz to
when you say that, you just imagine like a Day of the Dead, like small Mexican child with a guitar, like on his back, shooting a Beretta 15 times into the air screaming.
The better point is we probably shouldn't be referencing Coco, seeing as this has nothing to do with Dia de los Muertos or Mexican culture whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Damn it.
And it's not like he really goes in and out of heaven in that movie. It's like a pretty much like an Alice in Wonderland sort of tale.
Well, anyway. Okay, all right. We'll workshop it. At y'all next week. But this week, we are
so
back in the week we would have been last week.
Yes, we have rewritten our scene. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I don't think we're going to go through it again.
No.
Kyle and Freddie have had their big blowout, and Kyle is zooming off into
a blowout is what you call it when a baby poops so hard that it comes out of their diaper.
I mean, that's
their
like,
blow up.
What?
It's a blow up, right? You don't have a blowout.
You're the dad. I don't know.
No, yeah. They had their blow up.
You can have like blowout can mean I'm right.
Blowout's a hair term.
It's a hair term, but it's also like you see like blowout sales, like
Matt's
here's where you go.
Matt's just going to the Nordstrom rack, just chuckling. Right.
Here we go. Here we
blowout,
go.
It blowout is like a visceral response to a parent. Right. It's like, Dorothy had a blowout.
All right, shut up. A sudden rupture or malfunction of a part or apparatus due to pressure, in particular the bursting of an automobile tire. Now, I would say that we're saying that the tire is their relationship.
You're skipping number two, which is a large, lavish meal or social gathering. So usually a blowout means like, if you say
no,
they had a blowout.
No. What was the first thing you said, Matt? The first thing you said was number two. Now, what number comes before number two, I wonder? Is it maybe the definition I offered?
No, exactly. The first definition.
Fucking pedant.
The first definition is something breaks or poop comes out of the diaper. Number two is if you're talking about socially, it means when you say they had a blowout, it means they had a really cool party together.
I don't. What is your no? But I'm saying.
Anyways,
that, I'm gonna. I can't do this anymore. Okay. We're back. Fuck peeps. We're back on.
We're back on.
The truce is broken.
They had a blow up, and now
or
Jin,
out
or
and,
out. Or they had a big
so they
party.
Had a big fight, and Jin has angrily ridden off on his motorcycle, and he's going to call Ms. Wonderful to get her to put the screws on his brother, so that his brother will go pray.
I was thinking about this.
Can he throw the phone away after he does the call? Because that's how like intensely emotional he is.
Dude, Kyle has lost and then magically regained his phone so many times in this script.
Well, okay, so to be fair, every other country than the U.S., it's pretty trivial to just buy a phone and get a SIM card and throw it in. I'm just saying.
We should just do a little scene where he goes to AT&T and they're like, do I have an upgrade? It's like, you just got a new phone 2 days ago. It's like, yeah, but like, and they keep trying to sell him insurance. Like, you know, if you bought this insurance, you'll definitely get a new phone for free next time you lose it. He's like, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to lose it again. I was thinking
like,
about.
Do you want to at least get an otter case this time? Yeah. Maybe the screen won't get back. He's like, no, but it makes the phone less cool looking.
So I was thinking about this last night and just I woke up in a fever being like, oh, that scene that we rewrote. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Because here's why. Because I think what's really good about it is I think it's actually an improvement to not have.
I'm skidding up for you dreaming about the scene you already wrote. And then you're like, oh, no, it's good.
It's good. It's good.
Anyway, all right.
Well, I was thinking about the next moment because I think where's a big improvement. I think it's important that Jin doesn't know that Freddy knows he betrayed him because it's going to be a powerful turn when it's time to see, okay, what's Freddy praying for? Right. And then it becomes an emotional reveal to Jin that it's like, well, of course, like he fucking lost all his money. He's going to be praying for money. And then it's like, wait a second. Like he's praying for my soul instead.
Yes.
Is a good turn. Anyways.
Yes.
So let's talk about what happens next. I'm just saying that we're in a good spot.
Okay.
So
Moody Motorcycle. Moody Motorcycle.
So yeah, so last
synthwave.
We saw him, he rode on his voice. Yes, he's listening to
synthwave,
Perturbator, or Carpenter Brute, or Laserhawk. I could keep going. I was guys. This is maybe. I'm gonna reveal.
Wait, are you really into that?
I'm gonna reveal the least cool thing about me, which is that I fucking love synthwave so hard. And I know what they're doing. I'm like, this is just the same boop boop 80s beats over and over and over again, but it just I don't know, it just jacks straight into that dopamine hit in my head.
You,
I love synthwave.
I'm sorry that I didn't call you when Carpenter Brute was in LA last year.
Oh, bummer. Well, that's okay.
All right.
I love synthwave almost as much as I love not going to concerts. okay. All right. Anyway, so yes, he's listening to synthwave. He's driving his bike down in the rain. He's all pissed off. So yes, we could do like a little bike rain montage.
Well, where's the next thing we're getting to?
Where do you? Oh, I know what you're asking. Where do you sit moodily overlooking the city? And the answer, Matt, is Victoria Peak. Go ahead and look that one up, guys.
Is that Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Victoria Peak.
So the next thing is going to be him
at Victoria Peak, smoking the cigo, looking cool.
He's going to, the next big story thing, more what I was going to say.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. This is good. This will do. he's going to call Ms. Wonderful, right? And then you have a, you're going to have some sort of scene where he's, maybe it's an anonymous tip off or whatever, where he's going to tell her about the ketamine that the other guys had, right? Because he's kind of like, I'm up shit. The other thing I think we need to figure out that is part of this is like, you need to like, Kyle, I think the other thing that kind of remembers, Kyle doesn't have a plan right now. Mm-hmm. Like, his brother's like, good. The guys that were working for him are, you know, like, that were shaking him down are working for him now. So it is like, you do need to characterize why it is that Kyle does this, right? It's like, how much of this is revenge at his brother? How much of this is just because it's like, I'm going to have to, you know, like, what is he feeling, I guess, when he calls
him
Wonderful?
He's definitely pissed at his brother. And so I think it's a little bit of both, right? Like, he shouldn't enjoy this, right? It's like, why you killed somebody. It's like, he shouldn't enjoy calling Miss Wonderful and telling, like, it's a practical thing. Like, he's got to screw his brother over so that he'll pray for help. But, like, because he's angry, like, there is some sort of satisfaction in doing this. I think if this wasn't the case, I don't know if he would actually have it in him to, like, have Miss Wonderful go after his brother. So, by the way, I think the way he can tell him is wonderful, rather than, because like everybody's fucking seen a phone call, like it's so fucking boring. How about like he takes his motorcycle? I guess he's on a motorcycle, not a car. He can't really drift a motorcycle, right?
No, it's very.
But you can do like cool spins.
You can do donuts, yeah.
So he should just be doing donuts and shit, like in this parking lot, just fucking all moodly.
Just being a 12 o'clock boy.
And then you cut to Miss Wonderful, and somebody runs up, and somebody runs up, and somebody runs up, and somebody runs up, and he's like, "Hey, there's some asshole fucking doing donuts in our parking lot." She goes, "What?" And she runs out there, and he finishes up, and he sits there, and he stares at her, and he pulls out a cigarette, and he lights it, and he flicks the cigarette. Yeah, it hits where he was skidding, and somehow that lights up this huge
amount. So his
lights up this huge message that goes, "There's 500 kilos of ketamine at 5-4-3-2-1 hospital," and he looks up at her in the flames and she nods at him and he drives off. It's like, that's fucking dope. That's so good.
Matt's flown too close to the sun,
that's
my friend.
So good. All right,
did
fine.
You know
he
that of
phone
the three
call.
Of the three people, Matt is the one charged with bringing a child into
fucking
this
make up. One of you guys are gonna make a phone call. One of us made a fucking trailer moment for a phone call. That's all.
So
I'm
you're
saying.
Saying he? How do the tires get lit on fire? What, how does
he's dropping gasoline while he's doing it? Too.
No. Well, this is easy. He lights the. He soaks his tire in gasoline and
he
lights
it. He just write it in gasoline.
That's not cool. It's like, hey, somebody's
hey,
outside.
Why don't you, hey, Will, when you sign the paper, how come you don't put your finger in ink and draw your name? Because you use a pen.
Hey, at the end of the Punisher, at the end of the Punisher,
his Kawasaki Ninja, baby.
At the end of the Punisher, how come he blew up all the cars to make the school?
Because he's trying to make a point.
His point is that he's ready to burn. He's ready to burn everybody who cares about. He's fucking cool as shit.
Guys, you know
he has a lot of money for tires.
You know I'm down a clown for some goofy shit, but this is too stupid.
All right. So he's going to call Miss Wonderful or do something.
There's also part of me. Is it a scene with Mrs. Wonderful? Like, is it?
No,
like
what's the scene?
I don't know. I was asking a question.
Well, as I was just saying, like, I think there's the next moment, this is going to be up to essentially starting the heist. And, like, there's nothing really. Like, Miss Wonderful, you could get some exposition.
Are we going to, okay, just to walk through it, right? So whether he, all right, so we're going to do a little moody zoom montage, and then whether he's burning rubber in a parking lot or calling her on the phone,
texting her,
he hips Mrs. Wonderful and her goons to this ketamine, right?
Yes.
And then it feels like, yeah, do we want to see him, like, watch them do the heist? Like, do we want to see them?
I like the idea of, yeah, because I feel like a lot of his
he would
want
to confirm that this is
watching,
happening,
Watching his brother's hospital, you know, get torn apart and his brother, like, outside as they're, like, pulling out all the ketamine. And, like, we were saying maybe even his hospital gets burnt down and, like, Jin's watching it from afar. And then, you know, he's staring at the flames of his brother's silhouette by the flames. His brother's screaming, falling on his knees. He's like, no, why have you forsaken me? And he's watching with not even a hint of emotion, just staring, trying to hide it all in. And then, like, a tear goes down his face and he spins around his motorcycle and drives off, leaving a message in his wake. Saying, "I'm sorry, brother." but yes, like him
he didn't
watching,
realize he was saying it. It's like the bike has revealed the content of his heart.
But yes, like him watching it happen is the best way of, you know, showing why that happened and that he's, you know, compartmentalized and is going to act tough about this.
So then, So I like all that. I'm trying to look to cast a slightly further view. We were talking about doing a whole thing where, like, the brother is like under Miss Wonderful's thumb now. Are we still doing that?
I feel like you can either do under the thumb or she burned down his hospital. And definitely maybe the more direct approach that like what he did caused his brother's hospital burned down is pretty.
Why would she burn the hospital down?
Hide all the, because she got all the ketamine and then she's going to burn it down to hide the evidence.
What evidence? She stole the evidence.
Well, yeah, no.
She stole the ketamine.
No, but if
I will, I
no,
will.
No, no, no. This is the no, 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 this, no.
To hide the fact.
Yeah,
it's
if the
stolen.
Cops came and like, hey, there's 50 kilos of ketamine missing. They're gonna obviously go fucking throughout the city, but like, be looking for fucking ketamine and like,
as
like
supposed to when they're just like not looking for
no,
illegal
because
drugs.
They don't know if there are 50 as a person.
No,
who
they
stole,
would shake
yeah,
down their CIs.
Yes,
as,
yes, exactly. Yes, that's how police. If you're stealing 50 kilos of ketamine, you rather police not know that 50 kilos were stolen mm-hmm. than know that 50 kilos were stolen. We're talking about $3 million of ketamine that are suddenly flooding the market. They're gonna one be able to track it back, or they're gonna look for it, or they're gonna like look at like here. There's just like arson happened and fucking everything got burnt down, including all the drugs.
I love
so
how little
know.
You've thought about doing crimes, Will. That your first reaction was like,
why hide the evidence?
Well, do two crimes though, but then you'll be in double in trouble.
Yeah,
now it's just like arson happened.
Yeah, I sure. All right, okay. So yes, if that's the idea, is that then it's gonna be blamed on an electrical fire and no one's going to notice that the ketamine went missing.
Yeah.
Like, I guess I understand that.
You don't approve of
although
it
it's already like, it's already an illicit thing that you're doing. I don't know that you need to like, you know, or anyway,
but it's
whatever.
Easy to cover up. Like, they're just like, they're covering
it's just a
up.
Cover up.
Yeah. They get a random person to cover up an arson. It's a lot. I mean, they're dealing with, you know, it's going to take them months to sell all this ketamine. Like, you don't want, like,
okay. You don't want
thing.
People looking for it. Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Fine.
But I mean, again, it's whether or not we actually, that's,
well, here's the other thing.
Beyond the point, do we want...
Bigger picture, yes, is yes. That do you want this threat of, like, he's under the thumb of Ms. Wonderful now? And then that's the unintended consequence.
Yes.
It's not just that his hospital burned down and that it's sad. It's just that he's now gotten his brother ensorcelled into the, you know, dark web of Mrs. Wonderful's sinister dealings or whatever is more the question to me. That seems like an interesting thread to play with, whereas and in terms of her being like, oh, great, you're going... It's like in Hard Boiled when they use the hospital to move their guns or whatever, which I still don't have any idea how that fucking works. Yeah, it would be like, the like, oh, great, you're going to be my guy now, right? And
yes.
It's like, now you have now corrupted this beautiful thing that your brother is doing by running this hospital into now he's like in deep with this dangerous person, which strikes me as an interesting move. I don't know what we do with it, but
I guess from there you'd be watching, you know, these people pull out all these drugs from the hospital, and then, you know, the brother's like, you know, trying to stop them, and they're like being the shit out of him. And Miss Wonderful comes up with her naked man couch, like a fucking mech.
God,
like,
I forgot
crawls
about that.
And like,
oh my
crawls
God,
over
so
to
weird.
Him.
She's like in a Gundam. Of-
yeah, crawls over to him, and then like two naked guys pull their hands out and pick him up and put him up on the couch. And then she like slaps him a few times and like whispers something into his ears, and he turns, you know, white. And like Jin's watching this, and it's like, oh shit, like what's happening? Like, oh no. And then you find out that like his brother, yeah, is like, now she's like, you're gonna be storing our ketamine. In fact, it's rather than I'm trying to think whatever she's using the hospital for her drug trade. Now
here's something goofy mm-hmm. that you could do. Hear me out. If you were gonna do the ketamine get stolen
mm-hmm.
and let's say he just sees it get stolen mm-hmm. right, could you do that, like we play that beat with Ms. Wonderful in the prayer? Oh no, maybe it's too much to cram in there. It kind of blunts the impact of the emotional thing.
Yeah, you definitely want Jin to know that he screwed his brother before the heist.
Okay, so yeah, all right. So yes, in theory, then it would be like, it would be he's sitting there just thinking like, like, I'm going to, you know, watch this stuff get stolen. Maybe he doesn't expect his brother to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then his brother shows up and then gets the Ms. Wonderful beats up the brother and then Liz. But it seems weird to just be playing out this whole scene that Jin's just watching. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to, do you know what I mean?
I mean, it seems pretty clear that when him going to Miss Wonderful is the decision, like that,
yes.
Like that is like, I don't think he's going to Miss Wonderful and then he's like surprised that she screws him over harder. Going to Miss Wonderful, we've presented her as this crazy, you know, horrible villain. Like him going to Miss Wonderful is like, he's decided to screw his brother over. Who knows what could happen?
That's true.
So like, I don't think there's a turn in the scene.
That it's even worse than he thought.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like you're essentially showing that he made the decision. It's a more an emotional moment to see how he's looking, how he's responding to watching this from afar. Like you see how much he's changed, like he doesn't seem to, and then he goes to tequila or whatever and it's like he has compartmentalized. It's like, we got it, like we're fucking doing this heist tomorrow, like it is what it is. And you realize like he's not doing this for anybody but himself now, like he's not doing this to help his family or anything. Like
I like the idea of maybe seeing a hint of the consequences in the scene with his brother on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So hear me out. What if you do, they burn down the thing, they take the money, right? Or they take the drugs, right? Mm-hmm. When they're in heaven watching the prayer through the miracle portal, he prays for his brother's soul. And as he's praying, like, cops kick the door down and they're like, you're under arrest for arson or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like let it be like, he sees how much his brother cares for him.
But and he then, also like, gets him in more
trouble.
It gets
even worse. Or again, Miss Wonderful shows up and they're like, you're going to be our guy or something like that. I don't know.
Because clearly he knows his brother is screwed. It feels like the turn in the prayer needs to be... It needs to feel powerful that he's praying for his brother. To me, that's the turn.
So it really needs to feel like he's lost everything.
Yes, and in fact, it makes me think that you actually need him. He needs to think his brother doesn't care about him either. Like, up until it's like...
I don't know if you're going to get that.
No, but he needs to think that his brother's mad or whatever it is. Like, he needs to be, when he's sitting there waiting for his brother to pray, and then despite everything that his brother's gone through, the only thing his brother's praying for his little brother to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, that needs to be the moment. And, like, that's the turn. And Jin's like, holy shit. Like, he's a good person, and like everybody else is freaking out because it's not working, and like his first thought is actually about his brother caring for him rather than even like the heist is doomed in this moment. Obviously he's gonna think about that the next second.
Okay,
but like,
so to put a button on that then, mm-hmm. Do you need Freddie to know that Kyle betrayed him going into this scene?
Yes.
That feels like what you need, because you would almost be like, you would want the hospital burning down and then Freddy sees him. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you'd be like, well, Jin, that's stupid. Why are you waiting for your brother here? But like, do you know what I mean? Like, you would want that extra punch.
The next question I have is, which I was getting at the beginning, which is my instinct, and maybe this is wrong, but my instinct right now is that you want Freddy to know that Jin betrayed him. But I don't know if you want Jin to know that Freddy knows he betrayed
him. Oh, boy. Multiple levels here.
Why?
Because there could be...
When does that get revealed to Jin?
That would be the thing in the prayer. He hears his brother talking. He's like,
he realized
I know my brother,
time.
You know, did this, and I know he's trying really hard. And then he's like, oh, shit, my brother found out I betrayed him. And then his brother's response to that is care and concern. And like,
yes.
I know he's probably going through a lot right now, and it's going to be hard for him to forgive himself for betraying me. But like, I love him, and I hope, you know, please send fortune his way or whatever.
So then that feels like Ms. Wonderful is your sort of vector for that.
Yes.
Right?
Like, I think as he strives,
Jin's like, just one thing. Don't tell my brother it was me.
Yeah.
And she's like, it was your brother.
It was your brother. Your brother did this all.
Your brother did this. I don't know why he thought I wouldn't, like, him. He should have told me literally anything else.
To say.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
Ms. Wonderful should show up in a naked man orb. Like, it's just like an orb
like
that
a
rolls.
Hamster wheel?
That rolls.
Like a hamster
ball? And then like a hand just comes out and grabs him and pulls him into the naked man orb. And then the two of them are just standing with just abs and ding dongs.
Were they naked or were they like shirtless?
I think they were shirtless.
I don't think they were nude.
Yeah, they
were shirtless.
We can check the receipts on that one, but I'm pretty sure not everyone was just dangling
brain.
A shirtless ball. As he's sitting there, he can't look. There's like one ding dong. He's like, one of your guys isn't wearing pants.
I can't tell which one.
She's like, I know that once I had like 30 of them, there's always one guy that thinks it's funny to not wear pants on. Like, I won't notice. Johnson, I see you. I can tell.
Jesus, man. All right.
Okay.
Okay. So
we need to do like a Terminator fight scene with her, like dude Matt chasing a car.
Yeah. Anyway. If it just turns into this like this super cop and it's like Terminator, you're like, what was this movie? We didn't see the right movie. There's another movie that happened in this movie that was a better movie.
It's like her riding a bunch of shirtless dudes that are like galloping with four pairs of hands that are just like,
no, I want them
chasing
to be,
a car.
I want them to be a little Flintstones car. Yeah. And then she like runs with her feet. That would have been a good Freddie W video back in the day. Would have been to do a Flintstones cops car chase where it's like a car chase, but then like the cops like kick the floorboards out and then it's like a Flintstones car.
Why back in the day? Why don't we do it now? I'll tell you why, because we're mid-30s.
All right. All right.
Okay.
So that means Miss Wonderful needs to know that it's Jin.
He drives off moodily. I feel like you're going to have...
Moodily, noodily. It feels like... something while he's driving, right?
Does he go straight to Miss Wonderful, or if we need this check-in about like the like him understanding and being aware of his consequences?
I'll tell you what I really want. Uh-huh. I'll tell you what I want.
What I really want.
Like, he's driving and it's the rain. This feels like flashback time to me.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like you get like three little flashbacks to little Freddy and
little kids.
Do you know what I mean?
Or is that flashback playing while he's watching it from afar?
I mean, what's fun about those three flashbacks is you do the double flashback scenario where the flashback is from his point of view about how Freddy's bad brother and getting beat up all the time. But then there's a secondary flashback where you're like, and this is what really happened. And you realize that his own memories are flawed and his brother was great the whole time and it was his own bullshit. Really makes you think, huh?
No, or he's like, isn't that MacGruber when he's talking about his ex-girlfriend or whatever, and then you realize like he's just like the worst person ever.
Yeah.
It should be like that. He's like, he's telling his flashback or like his flashbacks, and then Tequila just shows up in the scene. He's like, man, your brother sounds like a really good person. All the scenes are about how you're a fucking shitty dude.
The only problem is we just literally did a scene where he airs his about their childhood. Absolutely. So I don't think I don't know that it's
Does he talk? I mean, it's more like Tequila being the mechanism to do this. But yes, does he need to vocalize the change of this was about something before, but now it's like, yeah, he, you know, if his brother gets screwed over by this, so be it. Like, you know, I'm going to finish his heist and he's an asshole anyway. So I'm going to go talk to Miss Wonderful. And
I mean,
I'm
that
well aware.
feels like something you could get in whatever his interaction with Miss Wonderful and her guys is. Do you know what I mean? Well, how does this work? So again, how does this work? Is this anonymous? Is this like he?
There's a question.
Does
like,
he try to be anonymous? Does he? You know, like
I guess by saying like it's a senior one. That's why my initial thought was like, in terms of him calling Miss Wonderful, you could very well have him ride up all moodily on a motorcycle. You see him pick up a phone, and you see a mysterious figure pick up the phone, and then he hangs up over, and then he's like hanging out on a parking structure, looking over at his brother's hospital, and a black van shows up and a bunch of people come running in. You're like, oh shit, he called somebody in to take these drugs. And then you reveal it's Miss Wonderful and she comes out. You're like, yeah, he called Miss Wonderful to take it out. Like, I don't know. Like, and if he's going to talk about it more or deal with something, that's why I feel like it's probably a scene with, I guess I was just saying you'd do something with Tequila or something.
Okay. So I'm trying to think of, I don't know that he'd open up to Tequila about this stuff, for one. And I feel like Tequila would tell him not to do it, right?
Yeah, that might be the scene. I mean, that might be what it is that he doesn't want to open up about it, and he's like, are you sure about this? Or Tequila does say it's worth it or whatever. Like, I guess the point is, what do you need to know? Is really, ultimately, what do we want to play with Jin's choice here to call Miss Wonderful? My point is, like, if it's ultimately a should you do this sort of moment, like Miss Wonderful being like, I'm going to really screw him up, by the way, is like not as interesting as Tequila being like, are you sure you want to do this? Or like him being like, don't worry about it or whatever it is.
I don't think he needs Tequila, though. I mean,
I don't think it's Tequila. To me, I think you want a moment. I think that moment, if we can figure out a way to express it, is Kyle by himself.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's like, it's the kind of moment where if like we had planted a picture of the two of them as kids earlier in the movie, he'd rip it in half and throw it in the wind or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and then you'd be like, oh, okay. And then like, then a look of hardness. It's like, he's wrestling with emotions as he's riding the bike. Right. And then he pulls over and then he makes this grim decision. And then you play sinister music and you know, now the rain, like a lightning, there's a crack of lightning. And then it cuts to him on the phone and he hangs it up. You know, like that's kind of what it feels like to me. Like, I don't know that you get a lot out of Jin, Tequila being like, hey, buddy, what's going on? And he's
so
like,
if you go
I feel
to,
ways about my bro. Like the
if you go to ways, I feel ways about my bros is like how like the fact
that I know. But I mean, cinematically, we're coming off this big fight. You're going to read that into whatever he's doing.
If you do something with Miss Wonderful. Yeah, I guess I'm trying to figure out like the North Star, like what we're trying to get out of the scene period. Like, I guess like the goofy over the top version, but just trying to figure out like what you're trying to do with the Miss Wonderful scene would be like he shows up at a door and you're like, where is he? And it's like, oh, Miss Wonderful's place. Come right this way. You're like, oh, shit, he's going to Miss Wonderful. And then he's walking. He's making small talk. He's like, hey, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm a Buddhist. I'm a Buddhist monk. I used to run a hospital, but now I'm one of Miss Wonderful's goons and I do whatever she tells me or whatever it is. It's like, here's Miss Wonderful. And then he's like, hey, I got something for you. You're like, oh shit, like you're seeing that, like if he does this, like what the life of his brother is gonna be like. And then he tells Miss
Wonderful,
sorry,
what?
I'm just trying to figure out what a scene with Miss Wonderful.
My point is, I don't think you need a scene.
I'm not saying that you need a scene with
I think
Miss Wonderful,
it is him making a phone call on a payphone on the side of the road.
Well, that's what we're on.
I don't think he needs to go face to face.
Yeah, so when I walk through like what it would be visually, then is that all we need?
I guess
what
it feels like you're. Are you saying?
Unless, oh,
that's what I was getting at.
Guys, no. All right, I have an idea. I hyped it up a lot with that interjection.
Yeah, you did.
With that
can't
excited
wait.
Eruption. What if it's one of these?
What if it's Mona Lisa with sunglasses?
What
and a skateboard?
What if it's Jin talking about his brother and like moodily, like, you know, doing opening up, and you slowly revolve the camera around to reveal that he's talking to Ms. Wonderful. And then it's like in The Simpsons when Homer goes to church to pray for Marge's success for the pretzel wagon, and then it reveals he's just talking to the mafia boss next to him. It would be like one of those. Like, you could kind of do, if you wanted to do it, like if you were going to do him drinking at a bar, you know, like you would reveal it's Ms. Wonderful's bar or something.
And
like
you think that he's talking to the bartender, but instead it's 20 shirtless guys.
Well, you as you pull out, you slowly reveal that the bar he's on is just an ab.
It's just an ab. It's like, this is one of those weird like hand chairs. No, that's a human.
Okay, so he's like, so you see,
I don't know
he's
what he'd
moody.
Be saying. I still don't know what he'd be saying, because he would just kind of be recapping the last scene, right?
Well, he'd be getting more. He'd be like, you know, me and my brother, we grew up on the streets, and I need a bigger bro.
Yeah, but we already literally just did.
I know.
That.
I was trying to say. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what it would be. That's why. I mean,
I think we already did it. I don't think you need it. I think it's the one thing I would say. The one thing I would say is like, do you need to kind of like replay? Or like kind of bring back into play the urgency. Okay, here's something you could do. This could be a kind of like, this could get it to you. Is, because I was like, do you want to remind the audience that like, hey, this has consequences for the heist.
Right.
Right? Like, you want to remind them this isn't just about Jin and Freddie like falling apart. This is like, he needed him to be praying for this heist, right?
Yeah.
So like, you could do like tequila calls. Like, if Jin's out moodily smoking cigarettes and stuff like that, and then he's made up his mind, you could do, like, tequila calls. He's like, yo, dude, like, where are you? Like, are we good? Is your brother going to pray tomorrow? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to give him something to pray about. And then you can do that gag where it's like, okay, what are you going to? And he just hangs up. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could kind of do one of those things, right, to reinforce what's up.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that might be as simple as it is. That's what I mean by, like, tequila checking in. It could be just as simple as him being like, are we good? You know, if he doesn't pray for the money, like, this entire thing is for naught. And it's like, yeah, no, don't worry about it. He's going to have something to pray for. I feel like that's when you would cut to him over the parking structure looking at his brother get pulled out of his hospital or whatever as they're stealing off his...
Okay, yes, I like that. So we do moody bike ride. Does he ride back to...
Yeah, I was about to say, it feels like I'd rather have that in person with tequila than a phone call. So, I mean, you could do, like, he's moodily...
And then you do a second moody... Oh, yes, yeah. Actually, this is very good. Do moody bike ride, normal rain, crying Jin, right? Mm-hmm. Getting sadder and sadder, right? He pulls up to the thing. You know, like, you need, like, whatever... I kind of want something to hint at what the angry turn is.
Mm-hmm.
But then you do, it's like, yo, are we good? And then he's like, yeah, he's going to have something to pray about. And then you cut to angry, rainy bike ride with lightning. And he's riding, and then he goes to...
A second
rainy bike ride montage.
What you don't expect is a second montage.
It's like he's driving past, and
the
it's
second
like,
rainy bike montage is called the Prestige.
The Prestige.
He's driving past, and there's like a poster for like a 4K release of Band of Brothers. And he's like, Band of Brothers. and then he goes past, and there's like a poster for like the new HBO miniseries Cain and Abel. He's like, Cain and Abel. he's just seeing all his brother's stuff. Trying to think if there was a way
big to get, picture of Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah,
saying,
I was about to say,
like,
I was trying to get Ashton Kutcher back in
betray
there.
Betray your brother, Jin.
Jin.
It's called Betrayal Gin, and it's a new beverage.
Oh, you could do like an betrayal. Ad for like, you know, like Big Brother, Big Sister.
Uh-huh.
Like, it could be like Ashton Kutcher here for Big Brother. Everyone needs a big brother, to look out for them, to protect them.
To beat them up on the bad guys when they're on the street. That's why this Tuesday, guacamole is free at Chipotle.
For big brothers, when they bring in their little brother. He's like, you've taken this from me as well. I kind of like that. I mean, it's dumb, but...
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Do we need the posters? I mean, I guess you could do something like that.
I mean, like, that's how The Simpsons would do it,
yeah,
right?
That's
like,
how the
they
Simpsons
would be
like
that.
Watching The Simpsons. Because it feels like he makes the call, and then we don't know what the call was. Necessarily. Yeah. And then he hangs up and he turns around and it's tequila and he's like, hey, are we good without your brother praying? Like, fucking, we like, what's the matter? Like, without your brother praying.
Oh, so you're saying
nothing.
You do the call before.
Before what?
Before tequila talks to him. I was going to say, like, you do, he's moody, and then you do, like, he's brooding it over, and then tequila's like, hey, are we good? And, like, then he's like, yeah, we're good. I'm going to give him something to pray about. Then he makes a call.
I see. They make a call.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you're like, oh, shit. Like, now it's going down.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
It's like as he starts pressing the buttons on the phone, it's like you're already cross cutting to like he revs his engine and then he puts the phone to his thing and the bike peels out of the fucking parking lot and then a mysterious voice and then a mysterious hand picks up the thing and he's like and lightning cracks behind him
Well then you do like the hand goes like I see and then like the hand turns to like or like someone picks up the phone and is bringing the phone and you're like where is it and then like it keeps going from like hand to hand to hand and then you reveal it just goes up to Miss Wonderful and then you pull out. She's on her man.
And then he's driving up to a parking structure across the way from the hospital, and it says parking structure's closed. And then you see Miss Wonderful like round up her guys or cross cutting. And then it's like he does the stunt in the trailer for No Time to Die, where he just jumps off something and like flies 60 feet in the air to land on top of the parking structure. Just like it's just an extraneous, incredible stunt because it says the parking structure is closed. And he's like, well, he still got to get to the roof. He just does this insane stunt.
He does like the jump from like the trailer of,
Or Expendables 3. They also do like this huge motorcycle.
I really wish there were more fucking pointless, incredible stunts in movies.
Just this extreme.
It's true. You don't see that a whole lot. Yeah. Like we're going to do the biggest free fall drop in movie
and the
history.
Other way to surprise people, and they don't do this enough in stunts either, because it's hard to. The only thing harder than doing like a clean stunt is like doing a dirty stunt, because like that stunt essentially either works or it doesn't. But what you need is like he does like a 70-foot like motorcycle jump, but like the bike like hits the edge and like he quickly scrambles off and rolls off of it as the bike falls. I was like, holy shit, like almost didn't make that. And then he like strains up his tie and then walks over and then moodily puts on his sunglasses and it's tears.
All right, back to the movie.
Back to the movie, but like he almost fucking dies on this extreme. Stunt. Like, why the fuck did they do that stunt? That looked really dangerous.
All right, so we'll do that. Okay, yeah. So this is all taking shape for me. I like this. So again, it's Moody Rain bike. He's driving around. Ba-ba-ba-ba-bum. I'm still missing some. There's something in this Moody Rain bike thing part one that is not sticking for me. Before tequila. Once we get to tequila, like, I'm good. Because then you have tequila, you have he makes this call. I still am a little sticky on what the expression of it is with Mrs. Wonderful. Then they get to the hospital and they burn it down. He sees his brother rush up and cry as, you know, his hospital's going aflame. And
I think he's looking at it just at a distance, you know?
Yeah.
What do you mean at a distance?
Yeah. He's seeing all this happen.
So
he's got like a cool.
So there's two questions I have. One is that it does seem like this little montage needs some kind of button before the tequila thing. I want something to come out, you know, from it, other than just A to B of him driving somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that's one. Two is, how does Freddy find out it was Jin?
Right? I like Miss Wonderful telling him. That's the way I set that up.
Okay. Let's start with the first one. Okay. Let's start with this emotional bike ride. Because, I mean, you're joking about the Cain and Abel and stuff.
But, yeah,
like
it's
that.
Pointing out to you.
You
want to understand what he's going through as he's about to make this decision.
So let's follow it from, so he just told Freddy to go to hell. He hops on his bike and rides off through the rain, right?
Maybe it's that he's thinking, he may not have the answer right now.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, so that's what it really could get down to.
But I think it's also, I don't think what's conflicting him is like, how do I fuck my brother?
I know, but it's like Banner Brothers, Cain and Abel, and then the last billboard is, Miss Wonderful's looking for ways to buy illegal drugs. And he's like, I get it all now. That's what you're trying to express in terms of his internal conflict.
So he's angry,
he lets off steam for the first time. We reveal that he lets off steam by doing cool dirt biking. Like he goes to this like dirt bike arena. And he's doing big jumps. Like, man, I've never seen Jin.
There's a whole sports anime that's happening where it's like, and Jin wins the Spurs the championship. And he like looks at the trophy. He's like, I don't need it.
I've never seen
what
him.
What was this?
I've never seen him bike so angry. And they're like, hey, Jin, before we give you this trophy, just one question. Who's Freddy? And he goes, what? And then you realize that he's carved Freddy's name on the track by
what
accident.
What is that?
And he's been
is a thing. What is that from?
Wait, carving the name of the person into the.
Like, I don't know why
this is
a gag. I also had that in ACD where I just really wanted him to be putting the symbol in sunscreen on Diesel's back. It's just the idea of just.
All right, you've intrigued me with. Now that we've stuffed a food anime into this, stuffing a dirt bike sports story into this.
It needs to be something. If you're gonna, you need to tee that up though, where it's like, okay, go to hell, phrase. Like, hey, where are you going, Jen? He's like, I just gotta ride. And then you cut to this motocross.
Okay,
tournament.
No, I mean, because essentially it would be this. It would
a hard cut to motocross tournament.
No,
that says motocross.
No, you're thinking about it the wrong way. It starts as brooding. He's on a dirt bike. You don't realize this, right? But he's brooding as he's zooming through the streets, right? And it's just medium shot to him driving, yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, you're like, is he pulling into a stadium? What's going on? And then you're just on the bike with him as he's like angrily doing sick kick flips, yes. And like pirouettes
next to
and
him
stuff.
There's suddenly like another guy on a bike and then multiple guys on bikes. Like, wait, why are there so many bikes on the streets? Like, wait, this isn't a street. Are there fans behind him?
Okay. And this is like, and it's just the same sad music playing as he's crying and doing moves. And then it ends with him like just like they're all cheering. He's just like he's gripping this trophy like so pissed. And the guy is like Jin, what an incredible performance.
Well,
you know,
it's
the brother tag team duo. No, like invitation. It's like, where's your brother?
You suddenly break.
No, you do the whole. They're like, one question: who's Freddy? And he's like, what do you mean? And then you zoom out, and he's written Freddy with like an angry exclamation mark into the breath. He's like, and he throws it, and then you just cut to him stomping into the fucking headquarters covered in mud. And they're like, what the hell happened? He's like, yeah, it's like, I don't want to talk about it. It's like, are we good? Is Freddy going to pray tomorrow? And he's like, yeah, I'll give him something to pray
about.
That's
some Naked Gun level shit.
He needs to have a trophy with them. He's like, are you good? He's like, nothing. I don't want to talk about it. He puts the trophy down, and they all just stare. As like first place, like freestyle motocross, and they're like, what? And he's like wiping his face off.
I think we could do.
He's like, don't you worry about it.
I think we could do a Naked Gun style movie.
I mean, I think it's very clear where this movie's gone.
I mean, it starts with Naked Man Couch. I think we can do. All right, fuck it. I'm in. This is the best version of this so far.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. Okay. So he drives off, is what we're saying, on his sweet dirt bike. And you're like, oh, he has a dirt bike. Interesting. And then that's, again, when we go back for round two, when we go back to the previous version, we do like, yeah, like you can plant that stuff at the beginning. I mean, yeah. I think it's kind of funnier if you don't. But it's like you would do like, again, he's a getaway driver. Like he's good with the wheel.
The first thing he said is when they get into the getaway car, it's like, Kanye's like, man, you got stop fucking leaving your shit in here. She just pulls out a biker helmet and like throws it in the back. It's like, oh, okay. Like you just don't think anything of it.
It should be when he like is when the motorcycle cop is chasing him, he like knows the exact model of motorcycle. He knows a lot about motorcycles, huh? Must be because he's a driver. It's like no, he's a professional motocross.
Yeah, that flashback. Like at one point we drop in that his favorite video game is Excitebike 64, yes. And just like it's all these motocross references.
What was the other one?
There's motocross is like a game.
Yeah.
When you do the close up of his driving gloves, it's branded like dirt biking gloves.
All of his clothes are always a little muddy. All right. Okay. So this is very good. We figured out the dumb thing that will get me through this scene.
Does he know?
I just know a lot of people when we went on this adventure with them from the beginning, we're picturing like a cool Heat Inception kind of thing that was going to happen, and now we're throwing this at him. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. all right, no, this is very good. Okay, so yes, he zooms off on his bike. We slowly transition to a motocross tournament. He does a bunch of sick flips and wins.
I think the way you finally break the reality and understand where you are is you cut out to the announcers. And they either go with like newcomer, like surprise, like they don't know who this
upstart.
Or you imply that he's been doing this a long time. It's like after a tough year, it's like he's driving like he's never driven before. Is anger motivating him? And like the two of them are just like delving. He's like, wait, I guess he's a motocrosser. I guess that makes sense. And he's like, I had a tough season this year. Whatever.
After a tough season.
He's been driving better than they've ever seen.
They somehow know all about the heist.
I believe he's been working through some family issues, but close book.
So
the mysterious Jin or whatever.
So then, yes, he's angrily covered in mud at the trophy state at the winner's. What is that thing called? The little platform where the 1, 2, 3? What?
Like the winner's pedestal, the podium, winner's podium.
The podium, yeah. All right, so anyway, podium. He's in the winner's circle, and then they give him the trophy, and they're like, just one question, who's Freddy? And he's like, ugh! And then he's just like, that tears it. I don't know why that makes him be like, all right, fuck him, I'm going to betray him, but it does. I guess you get that it's like...
I don't think he goes, eh. I think he just stares and he goes, nobody.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And then he comes in muddy because he still needs his trophy. I want to come in with this trophy. And they're like,
that's
Jim, where have you been?
Who's Freddy? He says, no one. And then he walks off. And then they're like, where have you been? And he goes, nowhere. He slams a motocross tournament down, trophy down. And then Tequila's like, I think he's been motocrossing again.
Hey, are we good? Like, if your brother is not gonna, if your brother's not desperate and miserable, is not gonna pray for his entire life to be fixed. Like, you know, this heist doesn't
work. Don't worry, I'm gonna give him something to pray about. Okay, yeah. Then you cut to he does the phone call.
Yeah,
right. And then you, honestly, at that point, I think you can just flip through his phone and you just see Mrs. Wonderful as a phone number.
I think you do it as a cool, moody montage. I think you see him. I think he's like, I'll give him something to pray for. And then you're cutting to, like, already he's kicking up his kickstand again while cross-cutting to him pulling out a phone, to a bike, peeling off, to him dialing a number, to
in
lightning
this case,
striking
behind
him. We
definitely do the radical motocross jump onto the
yes,
top.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All the setup.
In that one, you don't even see a ramp. You don't see anything. You're just on top of the bike.
He just zoom. Yeah, he looks there. He peels out. Then you see that's when you reveal Miss Wonderful's face. And then it says closed, like parking structure.
Yeah, parking structure
closed. No overnight parking.
It cuts to him down.
I don't know. I don't think you need that now. I don't think you need closed overnight parking. I don't think anything. I think you just do all of it. And then we're on the roof of a parking structure.
No, in order to set
and you
up,
just see a bike launch over the edge and stick the landing.
I think in order to set up the reveal of that, because you're like, where did that come from? Like,
I mean, we know where it came from. He's sick of motocross.
He's fine. It doesn't have to be closed. But you have to see the sixth story. You have to see from his point of view the sixth-story parking structure.
Yeah, you don't know you're on
and
the
he
roof.
He looks up, and then he just cuts to the roof.
What about this? What about this?
Lands.
What about this? You do it in one take, and you do, like, we pull up to the garage with him, and then you're like, zzz, and then, like, you see him go towards it, and then we crane up all six stories. You're like, I guess we're just going to see him up at the top. And then we get to the top, and then he just flies into frame and sticks
the
landing.
Well, as the camera's pulling up, up and craning up, he is backing up to get speed.
Is he not going into this motorcycle garage?
That'd be such an incredible shot. Like, that'd be such a good shot, period, for something. This is our flashy one take, because then he gets up and he lands and he, like, strains his tie, and as he's walking, what's that soft glow of orange? There's already a fire going on, and we walk with him and just go over his shoulder. We just see the whole hospital on fire. It's incredibly flashy one take. All right, dope.
This is good.
Miss Wonderful just says, your brother says,
who's forsaken? He's like, Scar's like, who's forsaken me? And then it cuts to Jin, and then it cuts to Miss Wonderful, and her lips get all close to his ear, and she whispers, your own brother. And then he hears it somehow across. Oh, no, he doesn't even know.
He doesn't hear it. Although, I think, okay, so here's the only trick with this.
Uh-huh.
This is the only last part of this insane radical BMX motocross stunt we need to land. Is how do we convey that he is expecting that his brother isn't going to know it's him, or that he doesn't want his brother to know it's him?
Oh, as he's driving, I mean, right, you're doing this, like, cross-cutting of this cool motorcycle action through the streets, and he's going against traffic on freeway for some reason. He's, like, so metal. Like, it'd just be a series of sequences where it says no entry, and he blows past it, and it says, like, road closed. He blows past it. It's like, he's just so rad. He doesn't give a shit anymore.
You were saying, though,
and
about
then, well, as you're doing that, it's like, you see his Miss Wonderful, and she's like, excellent. And then he's like, just one thing. And then he's like, you know, skidding around a corner. She's like, what? And then he, like, then he goes to pass no entry sign. He's like, don't tell him it was me. It's like, you just get that piece of phone call.
Oh, so it's just that last pang of guilt.
Yes.
That's how you play it. It's emotionally, it's like, that's how we know he still cares. It's all of this bluster and angry, you know, macho nonsense. And then it is like, this is like, she's about to leave. He's like, wait, one last thing. And she's like, what is it? Don't let him know it was me.
Yeah. And then what you do is he's watching the hospital burn, and he watches his brother fall to his knees, and he stares, and then you see his composure breaks for a second, a tear goes out, he puts on sunglasses, and he goes back on his motorcycle, and he just leaps off the building. He just leaps off the motorcycle, and then he just cut, and then he just
hold on. What if you do this? He's on the top of the motor, he's on top of the parking structure. He looks out at the burning building. He sees, like, tiny little dots, his brother in his monk robes, and Ms. Wonderful on her man couch, whatever, and then, like, his brother's like, ooh, it's forsaken me. And he's just, from his POV, he sees, like, Shahar, like lean over to him and then, like, point straight to Jin on top of the parking structure. He's like, oh, shit. And he just peels off.
Well, that would be
I know. I just thought.
I thought you were going to say he watches this happen. His brother goes, why have you forsaken me? And then Jin nods, like, good. He watches his brother, like, screaming. And he puts on sunglasses to hide his tears. And he opens his arms. And he realizes he has a wingsuit. And he just jumps off the building.
No.
And you don't explain how. It's like, wait, a wingsuit wouldn't save you from a
story. No, we're not doing the wingsuit.
No. Anyways,
that's too silly.
It's too silly. No. I feel like you just come in close on, or do you even need to know? Maybe the audience can be revealed at the same time when he's praying. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to think if the audience needs to know that he knows it was his brother.
Oh, just to do that reveal later.
I think I like playing it here. I don't mind it. I just wouldn't. You just cut into Freddy's POV.
Yes, I would just do. Yes,
then, I like knowing it first.
I would just come. Yes, I would do as Jin leaves. Jin walks away from the burning flames after he watched. Again, he can't
bear to look.
He can't bear to look. So he walks away, and then we cut into his brothers. You know, on the ground. You know, watching his thing go up in flames, and then Miss Wonderful just cruelly walks past him, and she's like. I guess, no, we don't need to say that she's going to help, like, use him later for anything. She'll just walk away and be
No. She's like, yeah, your brother.
Nobody was here, by the way.
Yeah, no, I think.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it was all your brother.
It was your brother.
It was your brother, yeah.
I don't know why he told me not to tell you.
Yeah, that's the way you'd have her play it. Yeah. And then she gets on her naked.
In this version, I buy it because it's like he has no choice. He's going to, Jin is going to do this. And he's asking this as kind of like a favor.
Yes,
you know?
And how stupid was he to think Miss Wonderful wouldn't say this?
But I mean, either or, it's a chance he's willing to take.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So, okay.
And then she gets in her shirtless hamster wheel and goes off.
And then she gets into her hunk mech.
Her hunk mech.
This is the greatest scene in film history as far as I'm concerned. So I think we got it. And I think that's a good chunk for this week.
I'm beginning to understand why our agents told us not to write this movie.
They were wrong, Matt.
I begin to understand why our agents told us that we're not their clients anymore.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. And so will you. For your ears. Your ears are going to take a quick break. And when your ears
Not. They're going to be engaged in the quality advertisements and
that's true.
Promos for
your
these
ears
other
are still on the hook. And when we come back, this pretty normal scene.
This is your captain with an update from the flight deck. We'll be reaching Max Fun Drive on March 16th. That's right on time. As a reminder, Max Fun Drive runs for just 2 weeks, and it's the best time of year to support the podcasts you love. If you look towards the front, you'll see your favorite hosts with special bonus content and lovely thank you gifts for new and upgrading monthly members. Now, sit back, relax, and catch up on your favorite Max Fun shows now so you can listen to the new episodes releasing March 16th. And thanks again for choosing Maximum Fun.
Exterior Hong Kong streets, night. Sad, sentimental music plays as a tearful Jin zooms through the pouring rain. We slowly push in on his face, jump cutting as he rides through moody, rain-swept Hong Kong vistas and locales. The music crescendos and the cityscapes rushing by in the background begin to change. Suddenly, instead of skyscrapers and neon streets, we see mounds of dirt and stadium crowds. Mud splatters on Jin's angry, tear-filled face. One moment he seems to be sailing into the air, the next he's flipping upside down, then bouncing hard into the dirt. We slowly pull out to reveal that Jin, still red-faced, still angry crying, is shredding a dirt bike at a bitchin' motocross tournament. A packed arena goes nuts for Jin as he pulls sick whips, gnarly knack-knacks, and double Superman seat grabs.
Wait, did you look those up?
You fucking bet your ass I looked those up.
He's tearing up this course like a friggin' moto beast. The voice of an awestruck announcer booms out over the loudspeakers.
It's been a tough season for Kyle, but now he's riding like a man with nothing to lose and no one to live for.
We keep tight on Jin and jump cut to him standing at the winner's podium, holding a trophy as a roaring crowd chants his name. None of it registers on his muddy, moody, brooding face. A reporter comes up and shoves a microphone at him.
That was an incredible run, Kyle. Just one question. Who's Freddy?
Jin looks up in confusion at hearing his brother's name. The reporter points out to the arena. Reveal. Somehow Jin has carved Freddy's name in huge cursive letters into the mud of the track. Jin's face hardens and his tears dry up as he responds to the reporter.
No one.
Interior safe house night. Jin barges into the safe house, holding his trophy, kicking up mud as he stomps through the room. The rest of the crew looks up, baffled.
What happened to you?
I don't want to talk about it.
Jin chucks his trophy into the corner, throws off his biker jacket, and tosses his keys on the table.
Are you okay, man?
I'm fine.
What about your brother? Are we good? Is he going to pray the Tai Shen tomorrow?
Jin stares at his brother's smiling photo on the heist planning wall. Tequila watches him closely, concerned.
Oh, yeah. I'll give him something to pray about.
Jin snatches his keys. He throws on his jacket. He stomps back out the door. The gang watches him in total confusion.
But
before they can finish their questions, Jin is out the door. Exterior Hong Kong streets, night, and riding off in the rain once again, only this time in a different direction and with more intense music playing. As Jin rides, we do a cross-cut montage. Jin stands in a phone booth overlooking the city. Inside an expensive apartment, an old-timey rotary phone rings. Jin stares out at the city from inside the rainy phone booth. A buff, shirtless hunk carries the ringing phone on a silver platter. Jin shuts his eyes, wrestling with inner torment as lightning cracks in the sky above him. The hunk picks up the phone and puts the receiver up to the waiting ear of another hunk, who squats with his lips positioned next to the ear of Miss Wonderful, lounging on her man sofa in her elegant apartment.
Hello.
The hunk with the phone up to his ear parrots everything Jin says like a bizarre automaton. It's Jin. I've got a tip for you.
I've got a tip for you. Get me my money or I'll kill you.
Intercut. Jin paces back and forth in the phone booth.
I've got a line on a big score of ketamine. 100 kilos. Ripe for the plucking. Consider a down payment on what we owe.
Where?
I'll tell you on two conditions.
I'm listening.
One, it has to be tonight. Two, it's my brother's place. Don't hurt him. And don't let him know it was me.
Where?
Jin hesitates for a moment, then takes the plunge.
The pharmacy at SSP Medical Center.
Jin hangs up the phone. Miss Wonderful tugs the phone hunk's ear, and he hangs up her phone, too.
In the final, it's not going to be his ear.
It's going to be a ding-dong.
All right. Exterior hospital parking garage, night. Jin rides his bike up to the hospital's parking garage. It's closed up tight for the night. He curses. As we crane up the side of the garage, we see Jin backing up his bike down the street. Eventually, we lose sight of him as we glide up to the roof. We hear the roar of a bike engine, a sudden jump, and then Jin's bike sails over the top of the six-story garage, and Jin sticks a badass landing on the roof. He hops off his bike and approaches the roof's edge. The orange light of flames fills his face, as does a look of pure what-have-I-done horror. Down below him, the entire hospital burns bright in the night, completely engulfed in fire. Miss Wonderful watches in delight from a hunk chair positioned in front of the blaze. Her retinue of goons haul their ill-gotten bottles of ketamine out of the hospital and into a waiting cargo van. Jin watches, racked with guilt. The sound of squealing tires draws his attention. A tiny, beat-to-shit compact car zooms up to the hospital, and a despairing Freddy stumbles out.
No! No! No!
Freddy drops to his knees and lets out a wail of despair. Jin can bear to look no longer. He turns away and rides off on his bike. Down below, Freddy cries out to the heavens.
Oh, ye gods! Why have you forsaken us?
Miss Wonderful glides up next to him on her hunk chair.
It wasn't the gods, brother.
She whispers in his ear.
It was your brother.
Freddy's jaw drops in pure devastation. Miss Wonderful gives a full-throated, evil, bad guy belly laugh. She snaps her fingers and her cadre of hunks carry her off into the getaway van. As the van zooms down the road, a rain-soaked Freddy weeps before the blazing inferno, burning bright in the night.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think we can go back to the beginning and start rewriting, because that now that's the movie. I get it.
You get the tone of the film.
I'm ready for that. I think that's my true north from now on. The dissolve into him being in a stadium is everything.
It makes emotional sense.
It makes emotional
sense. That's what you say
sense.
Whenever your script doesn't make real sense. It makes emotional sense. All right. Well, that's a scene and a half, man. Dang.
Dang. I liked it.
So now it's time for a heist in heaven, I guess.
How have we done a Hong Kong blood opera heist movie and it's taken 90 pages for someone to be crying in the rain while something burns behind them?
Well, that's something you got to fix in draft two.
That's a draft two.
Yeah. Good work. Good work, everybody.
Yeah. Good work, guys.
Will, what about the work our good fans do?
Our fans have done some good work this week. Thanks to Nikki Miller, Penichillin on Twitter for sending us a very good PSA for birds. You never know where they are. A little reference to our Bird Box episode and one of the all-time Matt Arnold quotes about the nature of birddom. Thanks to Nikki for that. And we also got a delightful piece of art from Sleepy the Mime on Twitter, Coco, who gave us an incredible piece of gin/whiskey romantic fan art. These two, it's just like some just very adorable doodles of gin and whiskey. It's super, super, super cute.
It's super cute.
Let the ship sail, I say. And you can check out both of those on our Twitter page, twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. Also check out our Facebook group, bit.ly/storybreakfb.
That's right. And also don't forget maximumfun.org, our podcast network, the best podcast network. Stay tuned. There's going to be some
Max Fun Drive stuff coming up very soon that we're very excited about. And we have a very good bonus that we're super pumped for that we're about to record. So that's going to be in the next couple weeks. So make sure you hang around for that. And make sure you hang around for all these great ads for other Max Fun shows. Make sure to check out MaximumFun.org for all of your podcasting needs. Podcast edited with the help of Chad Ellis. That's going to do it for us this week. I'm Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
And I'm Matt Arnold. And wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
All right, Adam. Maximum Fun wants us to record like a promo to tell people that they should listen to The Greatest Generation. You want to do that?
No, I am tired of all the extra work. I just wanted to talk about Star Trek with my friend.
I think it would be good to like try and get some new listeners by appealing to the audiences of other shows. Like, this will only take a minute or two. It could be good for us.
We sit down for an hour every week and talk about a Star Trek episode and make a bunch of idiotic fart jokes about it. It's embarrassing. If it got out that we made this show, I think it would make us unemployable.
Adam, I have bad news for you. We have tens of thousands of listeners at MaximumFun.org.
Oh my god. I think I'm going to throw up.
The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. Every Monday on MaximumFun.org.
I'm really going to be sick.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.